Okay. First of all, I missed last week. Thank y'all. You sang happy birthday to me. I'm on Zoom. I just was too embarrassed to be here on my 50th birthday.
Again?
So nobody followed me. But y'all are a sweet, sweet group. Thank you as always. And, so thanks for being here on this kind of a morning. I think there's nothing better than togetherness, the body of Christ, and for this group. So, you probably got the email, but a little different format. We're going to open, it's going to be open to prayers, reflections, about the situation, about Harry, and just about all the things that come with that. And we're going to have, Dan Roberts, give us a little word. One thing that I thought this morning, I was drawn to John 17 because that's Jesus' prayer for his people as he's leaving. And it struck me that we're in a situation like that, a transition situation. And, I would urge you to go back and read John 17 and Jesus' prayer. It's a familiar passage, but to think about that type of sudden tragic transition, the first thing Jesus says is the time has come. And I was encouraged that is the way. The time has come. It is God's timing. It's not a shock. It's not out of control. The time has come. And I was comforted by that and about 10 other elements in there that you can pick out. But he prayed for the other encouraging things that stuck out was his prayer about those that you gave me, God, those that you gave me, I have loved. And it felt like a group of people together sharing the love of God. This isn't a random group. It's not a civic organization, governmental group trying to figure out what to do with leadership. It is a family. It's love. And, so that struck me. And then all through that prayer, it's about the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God. The good times, the bad times, the tragic. And it struck me. I found it. And until somebody proves me wrong, I think that Harry's first sermon here was Psalm 115. Does anybody remember? Well, good. Then I'm right.
That's the way I like it. That's the way I like it.
But Psalm 115, not to us, but to thy name be glory. Do y'all remember any? Does that sound? Becky, does that sound right? It is so good. I thought I'd love to go back. And he was trying to set the tone for the work here, building on what had been built here, and not to us, but to thy name be glory. So all of this that seems out of control and sudden and all of the things that will occur, decisions and work, are led by him, will be for his glory, and, Christ is praying for our sanctification and protection through this. Our unity is huge in that prayer. In fact, one of the things he prays for protection from is disunity. And so I think a very galvanizing thing this can be, and all for his glory. So let me just open quickly in prayer, and then we'll go from there. Father, It is a time that we just collapse into your promises of all of these things, Lord, that you have a plan, a purpose, and that you are with us, you're present with us, and that the body of Christ is critical. And so thank you for allowing that to occur. And so we've built relationships here that we can build on in a time like this, lean on and encourage each other. So thank you for a morning like this to be shared, even in the midst of undeniable sorrow. We're not acting as if it isn't. It is sorrowful, period, yet rejoicing. And I pray that this morning here in the Discovery class would be both of those things in the light of your glory. And I pray that in Christ's name, amen. So Dan, just going to get Dan to share a little bit about, now be a good time. He was with Harry on Thursday.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, Thursday was another morning, we have ALCAP, which is the Legislative Prayer Breakfast, and it was Harry's turn to speak, and we committed probably 12 weeks.
Can you read your glasses?
About 12 weeks before that, is that better? And so he came in Wednesday night, got in around 10:15, and then the guys with ALCAP were there. I didn't know we'd spend the night. We hadn't talked. We'd talked earlier in the week, and then I talked to him late Wednesday night and told him that we were going to be very delayed starting the Senate, and Harry was going to do the opening prayer for the Senate that day. And he had an 11:30 to get back to in Birmingham. So I said, I'll tell you what, why don't you go home? We'll get someone else to cover it. The ALCAP guy, Greg Davis, would cover the opening prayer for the Senate. And you get back for your 11:30. He said, well, you crack the whip, I'll make the trip. We've all heard that how many times. And so go from there. And so he did a great job. He talked about Hebrews 13:7 in relation to that leadership. And he literally knocked it out of the park. Fast forward, I walk him to the car. We sat there and talked. He then said, let me drop you back to the State House. So he drives me up to the State House. Lo and behold, Mike Cole is walking down the sidewalk. So I roll down the window and I say, Mike, do you know this guy? And the glare on the windscreen, he couldn't tell who it was. He sticks his head and goes, Harry. So Harry got to give a greeting to Mike Cole. And so then we sat there and talked probably another 5 minutes about life, talked about I was getting ready to walk into that day. I had a bill that was defending ESG, which is a big deal for our state and our nation. So I had that bill on the floor, and Harry drove off. Watson drove off. Kind of gave him that sideways hug. He was in the seat of a Buick Enclave, and he left and headed north. I went in. It was kind of a crazy morning. And then all of a sudden, it was my turn up at bat in the well, and I'd been there about 30 minutes going, and our opponents were pretty resolute that they were not going to let this bill pass, so we were doing that. Next thing I know, I'm standing here in the well and an arm comes over and cuts my mic off, and I'm just pulled back from the podium, and I'm going, I don't think I said anything that was And then I'm going, something really crazy is happening, and six guys there, and they just take me out of the back of the Senate floor. As soon as I got to the doors, my first thought is something's happened to Ann. I know that's crazy. And I just went, no, she's home. And then I thought, something happened to the boys. By this time, I'm whisked into a side office, and one of my close friends said, Harry Reeder was killed in a crash on the way home. My first response was, no, he just dropped me off out front. And they said, no. Then my phone's ringing, and it was my son, David. And he just said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I collapsed to my knees. We all went in prayer. I cried out to the Lord God to surround us, to surround Cindy and the family, and the body of believers here at Briarwood. So stood up, and they said, Senator Sam Gavan's going to defend your bill. You're going home. We're going to put you back in the car. Trooper's going to take you home. I said, no, I'm going to go straight to the Reeder's house. So I had to talk them out of making me get in the back of a black Suburban. And I said, I'll need my car once I get home. And so I drove home and went straight to the Reeder's house. As I walked in, there were three pastors' wives there at the door, and I gave them hugs. And then I walked over, and all the kids were together, and they wanted to hear, what did Dad say this morning? So I was able to tell them that, and it was super sweet. And then I saw Cindy in the kitchen. I walked into the kitchen, and we had about a 4.5 minute or 5 minute hug. It was incredibly precious. Some tears were involved, and then, of course, what he would like to know, did he look good? said, he looked great. She said, how'd he do? And I told her what he had said, the challenge it had been. And at this point, I'm getting texts from other senators and House members of Supreme Court justices with copies of their notes of Hebrews 13:7, what Harry talked about leadership, about walking with the Lord, about holy dependence upon him and the roles that we have. And so I stayed around there a little bit and went out the back. There were a bunch of pastors back there, Bruce and others, Jim. And so they were chatting and I just gave hugs and let them do their business. And they were doing their job and I was just there to show up. You know, our family motto is you can fake caring, you can't fake showing up. And guys, you don't always know what to say when you show up in people's lives, but I would just encourage you to try it. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes you don't know what to say, but I can tell you there's always something the next day. The something I got to do was help negotiate the price of 3 pieces of dirt, 1 casket and 1 vault. So I met them at Southern Heritage just Friday and we got to finalize that stuff and then move forward from there. So I assure you that Wednesday we're going to have a celebration service here. But about 9 o'clock, Al Mohler had been texting and calling. And so I called him back and he just said, I'm so very sorry. And then he said, you know, can you imagine within 24 hours, the 2 main stalwarts of the Presbyterian Church in America may go home together. And at that point, it was unclear whether Tim would live through the night or not. And he passed away early the next morning. And so Al said, can you do me a favor? And I said, what do you need? He said, can you shoot me a quick 400 words? Well, so I said, sure, you're asking, I'll do it. When do you need it? And he goes, well, I've got a deadline at 10 o'clock. I'm like, it's 9:15. So Hillary called my son and daughter-in-law. She's a master's in education. And without Ann there, Ann always was able to bounce ideas. And I can throw thoughts out, and then she can help get them in something that anyone can understand. You wouldn't understand my thoughts. When they first come out, just ask Carter. He's had it happen several times. So anyway, we're able to put that together, and then his article went out the next morning. And so, guys, what I would tell you, I agree completely with what John said. This is a time for us to come together. As never before, I believe the body of believers at Briarwood, we come together. I know there have been some differences going on the last years. But this is the time for us to absolutely pull together and go, this is a football, as Lombardi would say, and this is Briarwood Presbyterian Church. We need to move this forward. So I think we pray for the leadership teams of our church. We pray for our session. We pray for our diaconate. We pray for our staff. The load they're carrying is immense. So in my opinion, we've got a triage. There's probably going to be a private family burial the day before. For the memorial service on Monday, and I think that's for family. And then Wednesday will be the big memorial service here. So I encourage you, communicate the Zoom link to many who are able to be here. But let's worship the Lord, thank the Lord for Harry L. Reader and the impact he had. But then moving forward, there's a million moving parts, and every one of us is going to be important to how this plane gets airborne again and does it smoothly. And just because I think something is, it doesn't mean it ought to be so. So work with our leadership, work with our staff, and let's see what the Lord does. Thank you. Do you pray for us? Sure. Abba, Father, all of us received the news that Harry was absent from the body and present with you. We were all in different places, and the impact is felt so deeply, particularly as we gather here now as the discovery class in Briarwood Presbyterian Church, the body of believers that we are a part of. And Lord, each member here is a critical part of this body moving forward. I pray that we could honor you as we honor Harry this week, that you would allow us to surround the Reader family in your loving kindness and use us as instruments of good in their lives for the next years, Father. This is a shock moment. We'll get through this, as Mark Cushman eloquently spoke this morning. We praise you that Harry was welcomed home as an ambassador returning to his home country. And Father, one day that will be our plight as well. Lord, I pray that those who are in and around us this week in particular, that they don't know where their eternal destiny is, that they would come to know Christ, that you would use us for your glory, that you would lead, guide, and direct our leadership, our staff, to shepherd us through this grieving process, this Mack truck hole, if you will, that we have in our hearts and our souls. And Lord, that you would fill us all full with your Holy Spirit, and that Briarwood Presbyterian Church would be united and move forward for your glory as we seek to reach our community, our state, and our world with the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how we love you. Oh, how we thank you for the years that Perry was used greatly here. Now, Lord, use us for your glory as we move forward. We need you. Have your way with us, O Lord God, as we as vessels of honor move forward here. And we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we are there's no real plan. So we just wanted to have a time of sharing, mainly praying. We have a microphone here. You want to try to get up to the microphone. If you don't want to do that, if you stand up and be really loud, because this room can be hard to hear. So I will just leave it like that. Let's pray. Of course, we know how to pray for the Reader family primarily right now, and then whatever else, the church and other things. But so I will leave it open.
Say, dear genuine friend, Pastor Reader, and sing for this church. No matter where I went, also doing programs in small towns in Alabama, doing a wedding at Sanford, all this, people have through my hand now, someone to speak. People of all faiths, people that may be liberal in their faith, but they do about Harry's regular program.
Pray. Father, we were all just going down the road of salvation left up to ourselves. And then you picked us. Chosen. Drew us out of that miry clay, out of that pit. And then, when you did that, you gave us hope for the present and this afterlife. Coming to you, hope that we can share with the world this hope. And Father, you gave us strength. And he gave us Harry. And Father, my thanks to you is to give us a pastor who was faithful to the gospel in a world that is littered with churches that are not faithful to the gospel. And churches that were faithful have moved progressively in a different direction. Thank you for giving us that stability for these things that we have enjoyed for 15 years. Father, this is a pivotal moment in our congregation. It will change us forever. Pray that it will change us and move us towards unity, oneness, a love for each other, love for this congregation, love for people outside the boundaries of this church, that we could be like Andrew and draw them to Christ. Thank you for blessing us richly with this man and this family and the impact that he's had through day-to-day in perspective and treating cultural issues that no one else cares about you. And the gospel preached in such an effective way from the pulpit has caused all of us to grow richly in Christ. Thank you for the blessings in this church.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
And one of my sons went through a difficult time, and Barry Reed contacted me, and anyway, he went to go see, drove a 6-hour round trip to go see my son. And I gave him every chance to get out. I said, Harry, keep the phone call and just go and go see him. And I knew at that moment it was the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go for the one lamb. I knew he didn't see Briarwood as a collective flock, but it's one lamb. Anyway.
Everybody thinks they have a special relationship with people like Gary, but our claim to fame as a family. My dad was on the search committee that brought Harry here. And my dad loved Frank Barker, loved him, came to Christ through Frank, and he loved Harry Reard, loved him. As soon as he heard him speak and knew his heart. And so the rest of the story is, so Harry became the pastor September 1, 1999. Dad had a heart attack. August 31st, it was in the hospital in a coma from which he never recovered. But in fact, the last words my dad ever said, guys, was when the news showed Frank Barker's face. Frank, they were talking about the transition from Frank to Harry on the news. And my dad said, what a blessing. That was it. And he loved his church. So he was the last person that Frank visited in the hospital and the first person that Harry visited. And we all kind of laughed about that. He was the mantle that they passed. And my dad was 74, very much like Harry. We thought dad was an active guy and would not have been a good guy with a disability. When he went fast, that was was blessing for dad. But anyway, he was so excited for what the church had in store for Harry's ministry. He would have loved the devotion to the Word of God, to the glory of God, to evangelism, to history, to the Constitution, for that one. And so it's just been quite a blessing. Anyway, other.
Well, and I was fortunate to be on the last Senate Halls group. We've got the leader and the 50 people there. And one of the things that most affected the ministry, but Dr. Leader being a leader of staff, would stand at the bottom of the bus every day. So we played with the bus every day. And that is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Southern gentleman, for sure. For sure.
With moon pie hat.
Oh, with moon pie hat, yeah. Classy with a K, as my brother would say. Ken, did you? Oh,
I was saying, maybe speak up, we can't all hear.
Oh, speak up when you, okay.
Walk close to him, darn, you better mic
on. I want to share what my son said, those of you know, my son, he went through a very difficult time after that. That's the last class. And then, he was in eighth grade. His eighth grade counselor made him on the top of his head. And so he came to talk to Harry. But anyway, I just took him now, 25 years old. And he's in Louisiana. But when he heard the news, he said, oh no, that's awful. I left him. I wouldn't have made it if I were without him. And I just thought, wow, that said something for him. So he knows about it.
So Odds of me walking around without tripping.
Susan and I have had the privilege, of course, of our lifetime to serve as music ministers or interims in 10 so different churches in the Birmingham area. And when it was time to stop doing that, we were looking for a place to be, and we had visited several churches around, and this was, what, 5 years ago? And we had visited Broadwood, expressed an interest in it. And then Susan's mom passed away. And of all the churches we had served, Harry Reeder was the only pastor who called to check on us, to pray with us about the loss of our man. And that went a long way to sort of sealing that deal, because that was a true pastor's heart. And, you know, if you ever work in the church, you understand that the sausage gets made. It's not always an easy
process.
So we have, because of that heart that he showed, just so obvious and so dear. I mean, more than once, he called several times just to check on them. We're just visitors. But having been in that position to work in so many churches over 70 years, it was such a blessing to come to church when the Bible was preached. And y'all, that's an increasingly rare thing. And so this has been a blow to our congregation, of course. And yet God is sovereign in all things. Jesus is King, and the Holy Spirit is at work, and we are so thankful for the superior leader of our lives, and the community at large, and throughout the world. I mean, I watched the video this morning during my exercises. I'd be very blessed of these people here. And so we are so thankful, and praise the Lord for him, and whatever the next step is for our church, we pray that the Bible will continue to be truly taught and encouraged, and that that the legacy of that will continue, and that God is praised in all things. We want to honor Harry, but we want to praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, Tina?
I just want to say, I'm probably loud enough in here.
Make sure you are.
But,
see you, John Haynes. Thank you for the leadership.
Amen.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So when I got the news on Thursday, John got upset. I was just thinking, well, what did Harry teach us all the years ago? Like, what would we take? And I think the thing that stands out to me is going to be that I put a lot more in Jesus' hands and resolve for. And I think that's where maybe just the impetus is moving forward. And I don't know if anybody else felt that immediately, but I was like, well, what did he tell me all these years that I did not cast aside and remember who it all is? So,
yeah, Denise.
I want to put the sheet and then we'll go play, okay? And I don't want to do this, but I think it's important to remember how Harry got here. And you heard about the search committee. Well, Frank announced his retirement. A search committee was formed. And they started getting applications. They approached Harry, and he was starting, and he was kind of at the beginning of a church plant in Charlotte. They just built a building. It would almost have been like asking Frank to change churches way back in the 70s. And so Harry was not interested at all. And he said, but I'll come alongside of you and help you in your search. Well, John Law Robinson was the, who's gone on to be with the Lord, was the chairman of the search committee. And one Saturday, we had started doing these Saturday night prayer sessions. And one Saturday night was dedicated completely to praying for this new pastor that was coming. And we asked John Law to come up and give a little update of where the committee stood. And he got up there and he said, well, we're nowhere. we've looked and we've gone all over the country, listening to people preach, and we're nowhere. So the congregation got together in small groups on that Saturday night. Were you there, John? Well, anyway,
yeah.
John didn't pay much back then. But and so we got into all these groups and we prayed for God to lead us to his man. And we had all these specific points. And I want to remind y'all that prayer is the key as we go through this transition. And also praying as a congregation. Well, John Law and the group had tickets to fly to Charlotte the next week because there was somebody that they were going to listen to preach on the next Sunday. And Charlotte was the closest place. I'm not sure exactly who they were going to see, but whoever it was, they called that week and said, the man called and said, I want to take my name out of consideration. I'm not interested. And so John Law said, well, we've got these non-refundable tickets going to Charlotte. Into Charlotte, why don't we just go and listen to Harry? He's been so helpful to our committee. And so they got on the plane and they went and listened to Harry. And now this is the next week from the prayer meeting. And so they all got on the plane coming back home and they were going, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And every one of them on the committee that had gone thought, Harry's our man. And so John Law came back and he called Harry and said, I don't know what God's doing, but everyone on our committee thinks you're the man. And he said, well, Cindy and I'll pray about it. And so he came back and he said, I think God's leading me to pray, which was a miracle. And the process started and, you know, Harry was announced as the committee's choice. And, of course, we as a congregation had to vote on it, and the sanctuary was packed that Sunday. And, it's interesting that, Harry that morning had already told Charlotte that he was resigning. Then we had to vote. So there was a little bit of time. Harry was out of a job. So John Law got up in front of the congregation, kind of told this whole story. And then Frank, who had not really said anything through this whole process, because, you know, he's just that kind of person. He was going to let the committee lead it. And he got up and he said, and I can't remember exactly the time frame, but he said, God, and Frank never said God told me.
Right.
But he got up and he said, God told me Harry was there. And so at that point, the congregation voted 100% for Harry Rayer, the pastor. And I want to just encourage us as a congregation moving forward, that the same God who did this 20 years ago, he's going to do it again.
That's right.
But we need to be united. We need to be praying. And and seeking for God's man.
Amen. Thank you so much. I've forgotten a lot of that. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, Tom.
I'll follow up on that. That's kind of related. But I thought this was quite interesting. For a number of years, I used to attend in Montreat, North Carolina, a gathering of Reformed PCA members, the conservative wing of the PCA. And during those meetings, they would talk about the difficulties they had in continuing to get their churches to preach the word, to walk in the word, and so forth. So being PCUS, I sort of tried to keep a low profile. And one day, I ended up in a seminar. We all had name tags on. All I had was Tom Woods, Birmingham. And at the end of the seminar, there were probably 12 or 15 of us in there. People, they asked people to talk about the difficulties and the problems that they were having within their churches and growth and keeping to the word and so forth. And so they went around these 14 people and then they got to me. And I just had to be truthful and say, well, we're having good church growth. Our minister's preaching the word and things are going pretty well with our church. This lady next to me looked around at my name tag and said, Birmingham, you go to Harry Reader's church. And I said, yes. And she said, we attended his church in Charlotte and you are so blessed. So you can tell he was very badly missed in Charlotte too.
Yeah.
Years ago, when still on, can you just turn back off?
Sure, that also didn't get feedback on there.
It's on then. Yeah.
Years ago, when God was stirring in my heart and calling me into the pastorate, part of His call in my life was through a fairly unknown pastor out of Minnesota, John Piper. And he made this statement, the mantle of being a pastor, the call, the mantle of being a pastor is soaked with the blood of Jesus and is singed with the fires of hell. Harry bore the mantle well. He modeled for so many, for so long, what it is to be a self-sacrificing servant of Jesus Christ. And we all have our story, our last interaction with Harry's story. We've all got those. And so we share those. That's going to provide comfort to each other, but I'm going to share something that I saw our pastor doing right to the end. Dan Roberts shared. I was so appreciative that he could be here and share it this morning. Harry served full on right to the end. Not knowing it was going to be the end, but he was serving full on. On Wednesday, we were at a lunch with a group of men. This men's group is men who have either recently lost their wives or are in the process of losing their wives due to cancer, or dementia, and Alzheimer's, or various other setbacks, physical ailments. And here we are at this luncheon, and he's serving away, encouraging the men, teaching them. Not only do we hear each other's stories, but we listen to pastors as he encouraged us. And not only that, but he ended it with sharing with what he understood from insight from on-site, the trips to Israel, where the real Via Dolorosa is. So it was just so refreshing to me to be able to see that those were the moments that God created Harry Reader to fulfill. He was called to serve. He was a shepherd right to the end. It's a joy to have seen him go with me on hospital visits or in a home with someone who's dying. Listen to him just share the word of God. Oh, he didn't have to open the Bible like I do. He had it. And he could share and share again. But I want to share with you something from the Word that I hope would be helpful to us, because Thursday, our lay pastors, we meet once a month. Charles Penn was there, and we were having our lunch, and God had laid it on my heart 3 weeks ago that this particular lay pastor meeting was the meeting that we would discuss how do we help others grieve well. And we walked through it. That was 11:30 lunch. Finished at 1:15. I went to another meeting with Jake Stallings. Talked with him for a few minutes. He seemed a little bit unusually rattled. And he said, after we finished talking, he said, "Have you seen your email?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And that's when I saw the email announcing that God had called our shepherd, pastor, teacher home. I'm grateful to have been served and led by a man who not only was a pastor, teacher, but a shepherd. I remember his call. We were in Ohio and Pam's mom had just died. "Brother Jim, how's your bride? How are you?" Couldn't be there, but he was there. That was just the heartbeat. And, you know, it was easy for me to forget. I saw him as the teacher preacher, you know, the pastor teacher. But he was a shepherd through it all. So let me, if I could, just take a minute. I want to read these words from the Apostle Paul. First Thessalonians chapter 4:13. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." These words do provide great encouragement. Great comfort. But, you know, I've used these words many times at a graveside service. And at a graveside service, I had a couple times that we've been in Elmwood. And I said, just look around at every tombstone that's here. If this was the moment, every one of these graves would open up and every contents would be ushered forth. Those who had received Jesus Christ in this life to everlasting glory. And those who went to their graves still rejecting Jesus Christ, committed to the rebellion and sin, to everlasting destruction. Jesus tells us we have hope. Yeah, we grieve. It's right. You know, Jesus himself grieved. He loved so deeply that knowing exactly what he was about to do with Lazarus, he went and saw Mary and Martha after Lazarus wasn't just D.E.D. dead. He was good and D.E.D. dead. 4 days, his body already stunk. That's what, or spank, if you like the King James Version. And when he got there, he asked Martha, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" She gave a good answer, "Yeah, I believe," thinking this Jews wouldn't that day. Yeah, there's an ultimate good and evil and resurrection, judgment, etc. He said, "Do you really believe? If you really believe, roll the stone away." And they rolled the stone away. But before they rolled the stone away, Jesus looked at Mary and Martha and saw Mary's grief. And what did Jesus do? The verse we all know, John 11:35. Jesus wept. He knew what was going to happen. And he wept still because he carries our sorrows. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief. But he wept with Mary and Martha, and then he said, "Lazarus." See, we have hope. We have confidence. No matter what way God brings us home, we know the piece of dirt that holds our body is not the end. It's not the final resting place. It's just temporary for a predetermined number of days. And then Jesus is going to say, "Come on."
Okay, we have a few more minutes if anybody wants to. Would somebody be willing to stand up, maybe lead us in prayer for the Reeder family? Tell people we're standing up to come up front or leave. Kind of an altar call thing.
I will just say that I won't make it. Just through circumstance, I've spent a lot of time with Harry and others this last year and a half. And got to know him on a level that I wish all of you could have known. Got to know his family, daughters, son, wife.
It's hard. Let me get you to come up here. For some reason, they're not able to hear.
Well, that's not going to be better. That'll make it worse. So I got to know them a lot better. And I really want you to know that just looking at Facebook and all the things that are coming out on the thing, you just pray that God would come alongside them through all the people that know them well. When Denise said pray, I went through a situation at my former church, and that's why I'm here. They called the pastor, and that issue was not as smooth as it should have been. And sometimes when we think about praying, we think, oh, I'll throw some arrows up. What Denise is talking about is really in-depth, serious prayer and not assuming anything. Not assuming, even though we know that God has chosen that person, he's going to reveal it. But that we would be a part in real hard prayer. Prayer for those that are going to be involved in working through that. Prayer for the session as they have to work through some issues as they're now going to have a meeting on Tuesday night, by the way. By the way, I'm the parliamentarian, so pray for me. But we're going to have a meeting on Tuesday night, and certainly this is going to be a major topic. And so we're going to need prayer. We're not just going to need a little prayer. We're going to need a lot of prayer. And so I would just encourage you to do that. I was able to go to their house on Thursday. And, you know, it's just amazing. Cindy is just amazing because she's receiving everybody like it's somebody else's husband that's died. You know, that's just the way that she's been wound. And that's the way that she's partnered with Harry over many years. So let's pray for them right now. And I guess we can close it with that. Father God, I just thank you that you are in absolute control of all things, all time, all place, all manner, that you knew exactly that we'd be here today. You knew the hearts, desires, fears, sorrows of everyone in this room. But you also knew that Cindy and the girls and Ike would have to be facing this day as well. And we just lift them up to you, that you would surround them in your loving kindness, that you would bring those that are able to comfort them with a comfort that's deeper than words, that you would bring those that can help them walk through this period of time, and that you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding in the middle of their grief. I just thank you for having the opportunity to get to know them. I pray for everyone in this room as they come here with different thoughts and desires and wants, that you would just lead them and guide them in how they should pray for the church, for each other, for the readers, for the session, for the staff, that we would come together as a church and cause you to be glorified by everything that we do from this moment forward. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Okay, we can, we'll end it this way. Yeah. And then if you want to hang around, if you can, if you have time, we can just stay and talk. So, one last prayer and then we'll do it. Father, again, thanks for this time. And it's a great reminder. Many of us didn't know most of that, the shepherding of individuals. And so we thank you for Harry's heart for
personal shepherding, may we follow that and do that. Listen when you prompt us to call someone or visit someone. Maybe follow him in that. Follow the example of dedication to your word, to truth, to energetic service for the kingdom, evangelism. And we're just thankful for his love for his family. How many pastors think everything falls apart because they can't love their wives well? So we thank you for that. Both of our pastors have exhibited love for their family so well. And so this is a prayer of thanksgiving for that, a prayer for the Reader family, extended all of their family, that they would be encouraged and blessed by all their hearing and just by the presence of the body of Christ. Let us know how to help. And we just thank you for our time as the body here in the discovery class who depend on each other, Lord, to process the ups and the downs. And I thank you that you brought us together and for the encouragement that brings. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.